Welcome back to, well, yes, the podcast where science meets wellness trends. I'm Walter, co-founder at HAM.
And I'm Sarah, registered dietitian and functional medicine practitioner. And today,
didn't mean to interrupt you. So sorry, Sarah. That's okay.
No, I was going to introduce our topic today, which is all about GLP-1s, semaglutide, tirzepatide, and how people are experimenting with this drug in a way that is a little bit different.
Well, I'm very excited about the topic because it's literally all over every trend report that you see. But I'm really curious before we get started, Sarah, have you ever self-experimented with something that wasn't shown to be clinically effective, but there were some, you know, some hype around a trend? Did you ever participate in the wellness trend without
sending? Oh my gosh.
I'm just curious.
Yes. I mean, I'm like a rebellious wellness explorer and I haven't done anything with injectables. I think to me that's a little bit scarier, but supplements and all of like, there's so many wellness trends and diets and different things that pop up. I've experimented with a lot of those and things have worked really well and things have made me sick. But yeah, I'm always very curious to kind of see what is trending, understand the science, but then also experientially, how does it feel in my body? I always feel like that gives me a really different perspective to speak about something as a practitioner and as a person in this field when you've actually gone through it and what it feels like in your body.
100%. It's so true. And like, it is important to stay ahead. I think I'm similar to you in that sense. Like, I think when it comes to participating, maybe in a diet or something, that's one thing. But the other thing is like injecting. I think that's sort of like where I have a bit of like, okay, I really want to see some solid research before I would cross that path, I would say.
Yeah.
Having said that, we did for like some sort of like research project internally. We did some blood draws here in the office just to validate some, you know, biomarkers, which is a bit different. It wasn't about like injecting something, but it was like following a certain protocol via foods and then understanding how your body reacted to it. So that was via blood draws. I have no problem with like, you know, blood draws, etc. But like, I think injecting something, I really want to dig into the research, which I thought, you know, which I think is like the reason why we're having this episode today, because everybody is talking about microdosing Ozempic or, you know, any of these weight loss drugs, basically. So now, Sarah, what's your take on the whole topic overall? I'm just curious, like, you know, there are like 9 million Americans right now that are on a GLP-1 drug for weight loss. That is from, I think, The Guardian this year, this number. The number is growing. And obviously, the global demand for semaglutide and tirzepatide could top 100 billion by 2030.
Wow.
And we all know it's costly. There are a lot of these people that actually pay out of pocket. We're talking about hundreds of dollars, if not more than $1,000 a month, basically. And this trend that we're discussing today is like very much in line with like the cost. I think that's part of the reason, but also the side effects, right? Where people decided to start microdosing weight loss drugs such as Ozempic. So before we dive into sort of like your perspective around this, maybe we should start with the definition of microdosing, Sarah, and get your take here.
Yeah, so microdosing is basically taking a subclinical amount of a drug. And when we're looking at FDA-regulated drugs like Ozempic and these GLP-1s, we're looking at something that's been studied in clinical settings and looked at to see its effectiveness. And so when you're taking less, like microdosing, you're not taking that full studied amount. So that's essentially what microdosing means.
And again, the reason why people do microdose is, I think, twofold. Number one, cost, right? And number two, side effects to mitigate those, really. But again, you know, microdosing means, as you just said, taking something below a clinically studied amount. So we were really curious here and were thinking, okay, is there any clinical evidence whatsoever that has been published? There may be some in the making, but it has been published in a reputable journal. And the answer is no, that there is no evidence that taking a little bit of these drugs will yield the same benefits. Actually, you could end up with side effects, but no results. So we want to really be very clear about this one. This is a huge trend, but in no way, shape, or form are we endorsing this trend. We were just here just to like have the conversation around microdosing. It's happening. And I think the point of, well, yes, it's not just about like following all the trends, but also like shining a light on those trends from a scientific perspective, which is why we decided to have this conversation. So
Yeah. And ultimately, when I look at things in this context, it's a medication. It's oftentimes injected into your body. So it's bypassing all of our defense mechanisms that our body has, like stomach acid, which can break things down, and digestion, which can keep certain things out of your body. And it's going directly into your bloodstream. So it's really important to remember that it is a medication. And especially for me as a dietitian, that is out of my scope of practice to ever modify or change or tell somebody how to take a medication. And I always take the stance when it comes to these types of things is you really need to work with your doctor and really need to understand what are your goals, what is the effect, how do you feel? And that's where you can start to move away, if your doctor recommends it, from that FDA standard amount. But really, this is a deep conversation that you have to have with your primary health provider or your doctor.
100%. And I think it's really important to also understand that they have even like shelf life risks, for example, because I've read about user studies where people literally opened medication, took half of it, basically injected half of it, and then like to increase the shelf life, but maybe by not storing what is left over properly, or making sure that the needle you used is not 100% clean. All these things can lead to other unwanted consequences, which I think are important to call out as well. So it is absolutely critical that you work with your doctor and discuss this in a very open way and understand like, what are your options, and they will be able to help you figure out what the right dose is that's suitable but yet effective, and also help you hopefully manage those side effects. Did you look for, I mean, I couldn't find any studies. I'm curious, have you found any? And like, I mean, really, should we dug through like pages and pages of journals, and everything seems to be like it's happening, but there's no such thing as any published information. I'm just curious whether you got the same result as we did.
Yeah, I didn't find anything. And I think what is really interesting is just the crazy impact that this medication has had. I don't think people were expecting it to be as effective as it has been. And in so many different settings, like it was created originally for diabetics to help them manage blood sugar and to see this really huge boom with consumers and people working with their doctors in the effectiveness of weight loss with limited side effects, it's a pretty incredible drug. I'm continually impressed by it. And I keep waiting. I'm like, oh, when are we going to learn that it's really like something's not so kosher about it, or there's just something kind of that's not working. But it just continues to be something that is showing a lot of promise and having really positive impacts on people.
Yeah, and look, I'm overall, I must say as well, a huge proponent of these weight loss medications, and here's why. I think there's three reasons. I do think if you look at longevity in the population, and actually there was a moment when it decreased due to like an increase in overall obesity and heart disease within the wider population, and I do think that these weight loss drugs can really make a difference, and they are making a difference. Number two. So they're effective, right? But they also really have true long-term consequences. Second, I think there's other benefits that we're now seeing that reach beyond. They're like sort of the secondary effects of like overweight, basically, if you will, that are helping patients. So we're seeing it in addition to better heart health. There are some studies suggesting that it could help potentially with dementia, for example, etc. So there's a lot of like, long-term consequences which are positive. Number three, I would argue, because these semaglutide receptor agonists have been in the market for a long time for diabetics, we have a pretty good understanding when it comes to long-term usage, right? Having said that, one should always stay open-minded. Research can change overnight. And so we will obviously talk about that as soon as we see something coming up. One should always monitor As science evolves, and there will be more drugs coming, I believe, in the coming years. I think the pipeline, at least like 10 new drugs from like injectables to oral applications coming. So I think there's gonna be more, and it's really important to stay informed with your doctor, to make sure you're really up to speed when it comes to like what's right for you and why and how to take it. Is there any nutrition support that GLP-1 users should consider? Because we obviously talked about microdosing here, but I do think there's also a perspective from the nutrition angle where we may want to educate our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And since GLP-1 is a hormone, essentially a peptide that's made by our bodies naturally in the large and small intestines, I think it's really important to say and to educate on gut health. And by prioritizing gut health and making sure that you're eating a variety of foods, I love to say try eating 40 different foods a week, like a green apple and a red apple. Those are different kinds of foods to get a lot of variety, to diversify the microbiome, to feed the microbiome, really important. Or eating the rainbow. That's another great way to make sure you're getting all of the different phytonutrients that feed the different types of bacteria we have in our gut. Incorporating fermented foods, also beautiful, important for the gut. Bitter foods. So those are kind of things you can do in the gut health optimization world and actually enhance your body's ability to make GLP-1s. When we're thinking also just about standard nutrition and how do we kind of set that foundational health tone, when you're sitting down to eat a meal, having protein, fat, and fiber, that helps to stabilize blood sugar and to preserve muscle mass. That's a really big concern when you're on a GLP-1. Since your appetite is reducing and you're eating less calories, a lot of times that can be protein as well. And then we're seeing muscle kind of disappear rapidly. So you want to make sure that you're eating high quality foods in that balance, protein, fat, and fiber, to really maintain muscle mass, making sure you're still lifting weights, doing some type of resistance training. It could be body weight resistance, but that's important too to maintain muscle mass. Staying hydrated is another critical nutrition component if you're taking a GLP-1 because it can override your thirst cue. So hydration with water, adding electrolytes is going to be very beneficial. And then you can add in certain supplements to maintain energy, like B vitamins are great. I love a B complex versus like a single B vitamin. Magnesium is really important, and omega-3s can kind of give you that general support that you need to optimize mitochondrial function and just really have steady, consistent energy throughout the day. And, one we always have to plug and always talk about is just avoiding ultra processed foods. I think for me as a dietitian, that one's kind of like the obvious, like we don't ever recommend, and we can all agree as a nutrition profession, as a medical profession, that ultra processed foods are problematic. So that's kind of a general way to optimize gut health and your overall nutrition to really just stay healthy.
Yeah. And I think, specifically a diet high in protein and fiber tends to be, not only beneficial to people who are on a GLP-1 drug, but they can also be beneficial to just a wider population. I mean, there's like higher recommendation when it comes to protein. We've spoken about this on other episodes. Fiber in general, most Americans don't get enough fiber. So even if you're not on GLP-1 drug and you're listening to this, like just always pay attention to making sure you eat the rainbow. And then get your protein and fiber in as well. And I think then you're in a pretty good spot. And then, of course, hydration, which I think, and I'm really guilty of that myself, is probably the most overlooked way
Yeah.
of staying mentally fit, alert, but just generally feeling good as well. It's good for your skin as well. So just keeping an eye on that hydration is absolutely critical as well. Well, as always, it was super helpful.
Yeah, and there's actually, I think another aspect that's super fascinating when it comes to GLP-1s and the wellness world and trends is gluten. And I think when we think about, like, I'm putting air quotes, being healthy, a lot of times people will say, well, gluten is bad for you, like black and white, gluten is bad. And for a lot of people, it's not great for them. They have a hard time tolerating it, but not for everyone. And why I bring this up in the context of GLP-1s is because when you have gluten, when you eat gluten, there's a certain enzyme that breaks it down. And it's the same enzyme that breaks down GLP-1. So when you're eating gluten in your diet, you're actually sparing your body GLP-1. So your body's able to hold on to more GLP-1 because it's not breaking it down, because now it's focused on breaking down gluten. So I just like to kind of bring that in because, again, we're talking about wellness. We're not saying like this is good and this is bad, but looking at the actual science and what the body is doing. And I think that's just a really fascinating perspective for me, at least. I always find that super interesting that here we have gluten as such a demonized thing, but there's also health benefits within that. And it just comes back to that personalization of really understanding, okay, who am I? How do I feel? And what does my body need?
100%. I'm fully aligned on this one. And as always, if you need guidance here, make sure you follow the right resources and speak to a healthcare professional. When it relates to nutrition, please, make sure you speak to your RD, for example. And when it comes to medication, please consult your doctor as well to make sure you're doing the right thing.
I want to understand because Hum released a GLP-1 supplement. So I'm curious, what was your really just why did you guys make this and what was your kind of process? Why did you include this in your line of Hum supplements?
So for three reasons. There was a really strong study that there are ways of boosting your GLP-1 levels with a specific form of fiber. So it was a placebo-controlled study. Of course, when it comes to nutrition and you compare this to medication, the effectiveness is not the same. You can't compare this, like one you're injecting and the other one you're taking through foods. But the benefits were there, and they showed in that study that people were given a meal, right? And then with a placebo, and then they were giving a meal with this fiber mix, basically. And you took those two together. And if you compared the two groups, those that took this specific fiber had 2 times more higher GLP-1 levels than those that didn't, right? And we said to ourselves, there are three consumers out there that are really interested in this space. The first one is somebody who is actually on a GLP-1 drug and wants to like supersize their benefits, right? So like for that audience, this is a great product. The second one is like not all people want to stay for the rest of their lives on a GLP-1 drug. It is recommended for many people, but some people really decide, I don't want this anymore. And what happens when they stop taking these GLP-1s, they actually gain a lot of that back, the weight back that they are that they lost, and through a lot of time and financial investment, if you will. And again, here we thought this could be a great product to really help this consumer transition as they're like, coming off the drug, basically. And number three, there are people who just don't want to take a drug and they're looking for natural alternatives. And I do think one has to cater to that audience as well. And given the strength of the clinical evidence, plus our other formula, Flatamy, which is a digestive enzyme that helps you break down fiber more effectively and prevents those sort of unwanted side effects of bloating, et cetera, that you often get with fiber products. That combination was like a no-brainer for us. So that was really the thought process behind it. And it has been a really interesting way of adapting to this new consumer. Generally speaking, I'd say within health and wellness, I think there's really a new consumer out there right now. It's almost like what's happening in technology around AI. I think this is our AI moment within health and wellness, in my opinion. And the reason I'm saying this is the following. Number one, there are like so many additional benefits. Now the light's coming off in the office here. This always happens where we
It's not a podcast until the lights go off.
it is not a podcast until the lights come off, but it's there it is. It's coming back now. Basically, there's so much more because it works, these drugs work so well, more money is pouring into it, right? Because more money is pouring into it, more research is happening. The more research we do, the more things we'll uncover and find, basically. So it's a sort of almost self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. And as I said earlier, we haven't seen the general population losing weight for decades, basically. In fact, the opposite was true. And finally, there's something out there. There's a tool in the toolkit that really works and makes a big difference. So I do think with this really transformational story, to the point that people are having change in their diets, right? Food companies are thinking through on how to address this new consumer. What I'm trying to say is we're at this really transformational moment, and everybody talks about AI, AI, AI all over the world. But within health and wellness, I do think that GLP-1 is really the new frontier, and there's much more to come. And I think we just scratched the surface. So that's my little plug here. But I think that's the reason why we leaned into this, because the research is exciting, it's strong, it's interesting, and then the consumer is obviously changing at a very fast speed.
I think it's so interesting to kind of get a look behind the curtain at the thought process behind supplement development and how your team goes into that. I think it's really important, especially in the supplement world where there's seemingly little transparency and it's hard as a consumer and even as a dietitian oftentimes to access like the thought process and why was this developed. And it's really fun to just hear, you know, the research and the thought and how it's going to support people and be a healthy part of everyone's diet. So thanks for sharing that part. That's really
I
interesting.
appreciate that. Thank you. But thanks for asking
Yeah.
the question.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our well yes and well no for this week. Sarah, why don't you start?
Okay, my obvious well no is going off label and microdosing outside of the recommendation of your doctor with any sort of medication, GLP-1 specifically. So that is my well no, is not following the dosing instructions of your medication. And my well yes is supporting gut health and a diverse microbiome.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, my well, no, is microdosing without medical supervision. I do think you really need to like take your medical advice from your doctor, and probably not from a social media platform. I just want to call that out. I think that's really important. And I'm not saying that all advice on social media is correct or incorrect, etc. You obviously have so many diverse voices here. That's great. But when it comes to your health, it's a very personal journey, and it's always good to work with a professional one-on-one, as opposed to like under thinking like, this trend is working for other people, so therefore it has to work for myself. And also, you may be wasting your money, or like that's the worst case scenario, or best, like in the worst case scenario, you're really jeopardizing your health. But like, best case scenario, you may be wasting your money, which is not great either. So anyway, that's my well no.
Love it.
And I think my other one for this week is like, I just think getting hydration in is my well yes, really. It's like hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. I think specifically now, since we're changing into fall and winter, you'll probably be a bit more inside, the air may be a bit drier. I think hydration is really critical. Just pay attention to this and have a bit of water sitting on your desk all day, and keep at it. That's going to be really beneficial. Whether you are on a GLP-1 drug or not, hydration is going to be beneficial. So this is my well yes this week.
Amazing. My well no would be taking something that other people are doing and not listening to your own body and what's going to work for you.
Yeah. And I think that is true to medication, that is true to exercise, that is true to lifestyle, that is true to even like viewpoints, right?
Yeah,
Really call that out,
absolutely.
right? Because people always like to follow the trends and be on trend, this and that. But I think it's so important to be an independent thinker,
Critical thinking, yeah.
critical thinking. Just look at all the evidence and then make up your own mind, and maybe always try to weigh in that it's not the one who screams the loudest is necessarily the right one. But just look at all the evidence, basically. That's all I have to say. Right, let's do our RD rapid fire, and you know how this goes. And this week we're playing best sources for health information. Ooh, that's a spicy one. On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, clinical research,
10,
consulting your doctor,
9.
clinicaltrials.gov, that's a research site, which is really, that's a research site, basically. I'm not going to say anything.
10,
Your best friend,
4,
social media,
1,
a psychic,
5,
and your intuition.
10.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. I think this concludes today's episode, and as always, this was super insightful. I learned a lot. Bottom line is, microdosing may not be GLP-1s may not be the shortcut that you have been dreaming of. Please make sure you stay up to date on the latest and greatest when it comes to these drugs. I want to say a huge thanks to our producer Brooke and our production coordinator Fatima. If you like this and want to hear more, please give us a like, drop us a comment and subscribe. And remember, we say yes to curiosity and no to quick fixes. See you next week on Well Yes.